And good evening, folks, and welcome to 7x70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard. We are coming to you live this April 21st, 2016 from a beautiful radio ranch. It's, blizzard last weekend, record snow, 2 feet of snow, 4 foot snow drifts. Neighbors, a lot of people lost calves in that snow. We lost a baby calf, a day old calf in that snowstorm. And today, 65 degrees, blue skies, most of the snow is gone, praise the Lord. God is good. He truly is. We serve an awesome God. We thank you for joining us here. Got a few things to talk about. Thought we'd touch base on a couple T's tonight. Maybe Target. Maybe old Tubman, I think, is the name. No, not Tebow. Oh, although Tebow, I wonder how old Tebow's doing. I bet he's doing well. I bet he's doing well, but maybe Tubman, Target, that's some of the bad news that's going on, and you know, we're more than likely going to read a little bit of gospel and share a little bit of the good news with you tonight as well. You can get all the juicy details of those current news stories. Oh, you can get them anywhere you want, but you'll get some scripture reading here tonight. We do thank you for joining us. About halfway through the program, we'll open up the phone lines and see if maybe we have some callers tonight, but let's open up first with a word of prayer. And we did get a prayer chain out today, and I want to thank everybody for receiving that and for praying for the prayer requests that go out. Well, Heavenly Father, we come to you in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, and we thank you. It is an honor and a privilege to be able to worship in that name, Lord, to be able to serve you. Lord, we are honored that you've called us out of the darkness, that you've opened our eyes, that you have opened our eyes, Lord, to the glory, Lord, the glory of you, and Lord, that you have opened our eyes to the truth of your word, of who we are, what we are to do. Lord, let the world come against us. The world hates you and anything to do with you, and Lord, if they hate us as well, so be it. We will love you, and we will serve you. Because you loved us first, way back in the beginning, and you do not change. And we thank you for that. Thank you for the privilege of being here at the Radio Ranch microphone, Lord, to do my best, to do our best here at Scriptures for America, to continue on in this ministry, to continue on with this Christian ministry that was built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Lord, as we continue to proclaim the gospel, the true gospel message, the true message of salvation, who we are and what we are to do, Lord, and also who you are, who the true God of the Bible is, who Jesus Christ truly is, not ashamed of any of the scriptures, of anything from in the beginning to the amen in Revelation, Lord. It is all you and your word, and we thank you for it, Lord. I pray for your blessings tonight. Guide and direct us, Lord. Help us to be mindful of the needs of the saints, the needs of the remnant, Lord. Help us to be, well, Lord, to be aware of the evils that are out there, Lord, and strengthen us. Lord, rise up another Jehu. Rise up, raise up another Gideon, Lord. Today, in this time that we are in. Lord, we thank you. We thank you. We know that Romans 8:28 is there, Lord, that we can't control the things that happen in our lives, Lord, the things that happen in Washington, D.C., or halfway across the world, Lord. There's times we can't control if it's our vehicle problems or accidents or health issues or whatever, Lord. We know it rains on the just and the unjust. But, Lord, we're reminded in Romans 8:28 that we can love you, that we can love you, and if we will do that, that you will work all things for good. We thank you for that, Lord. And Lord, we love you. We thank you. We pray all this in the name above all names, Jesus the Christ. Amen. And amen. Well, again, it's 7x70. If you've been following our Bible reading plan, we're in Luke 16 tonight. Might get a chance to read that, at least to read part of that. I hope to. I had a couple thoughts I'd like to share with you. But first I want to put out, I have a request. I have a request, and I want to put out that, You know, sometimes when we go shopping, I don't like shopping at China Mart, otherwise known as Walmart. If I can buy at other places, I do. But I confess my sin to you. I shop at Walmart at times if I have to get things. We live in a fallen world. That's the way it is. But I can tell you somewhere I'm not going to shop anymore, and I encourage you not to either. And that's a place called Target. Because Target has raised their hand and said, don't forget us, because we approve of the perverts, we approve of the sexual deviants, we approve of those that we're going to let men, biological men, go in the women's restroom, in the women's changing and fitting room, and we're going to let women go into the men's bathroom in our stores, whether they work here or are guests here shopping. And so, you know, there comes a time that you just have to, well, you know, how much do you accept? And you know, it's just time, folks, for us to just start saying no. So I'm saying no, Target. I'm not going to shop there. Now, I can't go close them down. I can't go make them change their ungodly, anti-Christ, abomination policies. Nope. But I cannot support them. I can do that. And I encourage you to not support them. I'll go as far, and I think our pastor would have, to say that if you do continue to support Target, who says that inclusivity is a core belief at Target. It's something we celebrate. We stand for equality and equity, and strive to make our guests and team members feel accepted, respected, and welcomed in our stores and workplaces every day. And so it has announced that its transgender employees and customers are welcome to use the bathroom or fitting room facilities that best aligns with their gender identity, not with the organs God gave them when they were born. But if today, you know, Billy thinks he gender identifies as Jane, well, he can use the women's restroom. And this has been a hot topic all over the country. It has. North Carolina is, you know, signed a law banning cities from passing LGBT anti-discrimination ordinances and barring transgender people from using bathrooms that match their gender identity. Blah, blah, blah. It makes me sick just talking about this crap. You know, it is just further recruitment for the homosexual agenda. It is. We carry a book called A Dictionary of Early Christian Beliefs. I think it's about $22. It's edited by David Bricot, and it's a reference guide to over 700 topics discussed by the early church fathers. It's a dictionary like no other. You know, we carry several dictionaries, and this one is, it's a dictionary of quotes from the Ante-Nicene fathers, the early church fathers. And under homosexuality, let me just share a couple quotes with you, okay? From Didache, for about 80 to 40, about 80 years to 140 years after the time of Christ, he says, you shall not commit adultery. You shall not commit pederasty. You know, you don't do these kind of things. Here's Clement of Rome. In circa 96, it is well that they should be cut off from the lusts of the world, since every lust wars against the Spirit, and, quote, neither fornicators nor homosexuals will inherit the kingdom of God. Now, it's a repeat of the scriptures that we've read. It's a repeat of what the apostles have said, but this was, you know, the early church fathers. Here's another quote by Clement of Alexandria, circa about 195 after the time of Christ. The fate of the Sodomites was judgment to those who had done wrong, and instruction to those who hear. The Sodomites had fallen into uncleanness through much luxury. They practiced adultery shamelessly, and they burned with insane love for boys. And you know what else they did? They burned in hell, because God poured out fire and brimstone on them and destroyed them. And you know, there's a verse in Malachi 3:6, and he says, for I the Lord do not change. I, the Lord, do not change. So, Target, you go ahead and accept it. Me and my house, we're not accepting it. My family's not accepting it. It's still sin. Tertullian, circa 200, says, the coupling of two males is a very shameful thing. Tertullian, in another quote by him, I find no dress cursed by God except a woman's dress on a man. For he says, cursed is every man who clothes himself in women's attire. So, Target, you will be cursed by the name of, in the name of Jesus Christ. Your company and your products and your people will be cursed because you accept this abomination. You know, there's a warning. I've spoken with several of the Acres men, several of the men on the ministry over the last, just the last week or two. And several have shared with me that, you know, they've just warned. They've just put warnings out, whether it's to companies, whether it's to individuals, saying, listen, this is sin. And I'm giving you a warning now tonight. Homosexuality is a sin. Transgenderism is a sin. Okay? It is an abomination before the eyes of the God of the Bible. It is an abomination before the eyes of Jesus Christ. It is. It's as simple as that. It is a sin. God says, and again, Malachi 3:6, for the Lord, I, the Lord, do not change. It was an abomination then. It's an abomination now. It's still in the Word. It's in the Old Testament. It's in the New Testament. So, pray against Target. The enemies have given us a target. Well, you know, Brother Ralph, I appreciate your text there. We absolutely have a target. We do. And I'm in Luke. Let's flip over to Luke 10:19. That's the reference that he sent in, and I know what that says. Let's get over and read it. Luke 10:19. The 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. Now it goes on and says, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. Yes, Target. Owners, operators, people that shop there, you filthy faggots that want to go into the opposite sex's bathroom, in the name of Jesus Christ, we do come against you. And we say that you, we say repent or be destroyed. Repent or perish. It is as simple as that. You have raised your hand to be counted with the ungodly. It is as if in the days of Elijah when he said, if Baal be Baal, serve him. And you have said, okay, we will serve him. Well, you have been warned. Repent or perish. It is as simple as that. And that goes out to, you know, should you, Christian, should you love those, should you support those, should you give your money to those that hate God, that hate Jesus Christ, should you support them? If you continue to shop at Target, you do. They're putting it in your face. They're giving you the choice. They're saying, this is what we're going to do. We're going to serve Baal. So, Christian, if you want to serve that ungodly, false god, you just continue on with Target. Well, that's Target. Ugh, disgusting. Feel like I want to wash my mouth out. All this transgender crap. Well, you know, our money's changing. I know it's not real money, but it's the medium of exchange that we use, the Federal Reserve note. Did you notice it? I didn't bring it in here with me tonight, but I did pick up a... I saw it in the big paper today. What is it? USA Today. Harriet Tubman. You know, the female Negro escaped slave is going to be now on the $20 bill. And It's almost ludicrous how they push this Broadway hit Hamilton like that would really have something to do with not change with taking President Hamilton off the $10 bill. and but not Jackson off the 20. You know, the spin that you see here, that the enemies of God, that those up in D.C., maybe their sorcery worked in the past, but you know, we continue to pray that pistol prayer that the D.C. sorceries will cease, and they are ceasing because our prayers are answered. And so, you know, the revered $20 bill, well, Andy Jackson, you're coming off of it, buddy. And we need to get Harriet Tubman, a former slave and the renowned conductor of the Underground Railroad. And that's what we got to do. And I got a text here at the office, and it said, what do you think about that? What do you think about Harriet Tubman being, you know, replacing Andrew Jackson, a black woman, replacing one of the presidents on U.S. currency? And I think I replied that, well, it's just, it reflects the change in America. And I said, what they ought to do is just put a bale and an ashtray on it, because that's really what it is. That's really what it is. Is it's just Baal worship? It's Baal worship. It's no different than what caused the fall of the Roman Empire, the integration, the mongrelization of the nation. Well, I've got several pages of this. I don't really think I want to go on through it. It's just the way it is. See pictures here of these women here, from even back from August. Here, a woman holds a sign supporting Harriet Tubman for the $20 bill during a town hall meeting. Well, you ask for it, you got it. I think I'll just file that in the trash as well. Well, we're 20 minutes into the program. The phone's ringing. Let me push the buttons, and we'll
cruise
take a call.
Cruise to the Bahamas for two people.
Hey, no thanks. I don't want a cruise to the Bahamas for two people. That's live radio, folks. The phone lines are open. We'll open them up now. 307-745-5913. And if you do want to call in, I don't think I want to talk anymore about Target or Tubman, just the way it is. Had another, I had another note I wanted to share with you. See if I've got it here. I don't see it there. Let's see. Here it is. Oh, this was from last week. And you know, you would think with all the liberalism and all this newfound freedom, sexual freedom, and everything that's been going on from the anti-discrimination laws being passed, that you know, the people here would just be happy, 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 as our brothers down south talk about. But I got an article here, and it says millennials. Now, they talk about the millennials. They're the ones that are born between 1980 and 2000, you know, that generation. And so I've got a few children in that category. But it says the article here, and it's from Fox Business News, is the millennials are more miserable than ever before. Well, I can tell you why. It's because they're separated from their God, is the bottom line why. It says, the millennials have thrown a wrench into American society that puzzles older generations. And they talk. This talks about how these Generation Me, Gen Me, they call them, these millennials. And see, that's why they're miserable. It's because you focus on me. Me, me, me. Gimme, gimme, gimme. I want. If I don't get it, I'll sue you for it. I want it. Me, me, me. And you know, in Luke 16, as part of our Bible reading plan, verse 13, it says, you cannot serve God and wealth. I think Matthew 6 calls it God and mammon. God and man. God and wealth. You can't serve both. And so the millennials, just like the generation before them, for the most part, are serving wealth and not God. And they couldn't be more miserable. Couldn't be more miserable. Here's some quotes. Young people are angry. Told they could be anything they wanted to be, they face widespread unemployment. See, they were lied to. They were lied to. You, if you've listened to this ministry for a while, you remember our pastor talking about that, how back in the 50s, the late 50s and 60s, he was lied to. Go to school, get your education, get that degree. And he saw through it. But see, that's the generation before, even two generations before these generation me, millennials, they fell for it. Because guess who was lending the money for the people to go to college? And guess who was running the universities? The enemies of God. And guess who is running, who still runs them, those places, and the media outlets? That, well, promote me, me, me. What's that country western song? Want to talk about me? Want to talk about me? I'm the one that's important here. Everybody needs to look at me and see how miserable you are. It says they were raised on dreams of material wealth, and now. More than a third of these Generation Me's live with their parents well into their 20s. You're not going to get out and get your own home and like your parents or grandparents could. Because you believe the lie. And this talks on also about this the culture and educational system that rewards everyone for just showing up instead of hard work. And you know, that's the way it is anymore. Everybody gets a ribbon. Everybody gets a trophy. You know, it's the self-esteem movement that has just rolled through America. You know, every child gets the trophy, whether they win or not. Constant praise, just building up self-esteem. Oh, you're great. Oh, that's okay, Johnny. Everything's fine. Whatever you do is okay. And that doesn't prepare them for the world. Well, that's the way the world, and this article looks at it as to why they're miserable. I can tell you why they're miserable, because let's take a look at it. And it is in Matthew 6. Here we go. I'm flipping over to it now. And Matthew 6, let's see here. Boom, ba-dum, ba-dum, boom, boom. Matthew 6, 24. It's just like what we read in Luke 6, 13. Pretty close there. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And, you know, Matthew 6 goes all through and tells us about, in Matthew 6, 30 and 28 through 30 and 31 and 32, about, you know, why are you anxious for clothing? You know, why are you anxious about what are you going to eat? What are you going to drink? How will we clothe ourselves? And see, the enemies are that way. Here in Matthew 6, Jesus Christ tells us why. Why are you anxious about that? Your Heavenly Father knows what you need. See, he puts it in perspective for us as Christians. That don't worry about that stuff. But see, the enemy, he has all that stuff to sell. He wants us to worry about that stuff. He wants our children to worry about that stuff and to be anxious. But we're told not to. We have our instructions. You know, it's truly up to us whether we follow them or not. It truly is. Well, the phone lines are open. 307-745-5913. If you want to call, and I'm glad I wanted to cover those things and just put them out. I wanted to give you that warning about the store. I don't even want to talk about it anymore. I don't even want to mention it. But in our Bible reading plan, we are at Luke 16. And you know, the Bible tells us that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Okay? So if you want to be set free, you have to know the truth. Well, Jesus Christ said, I am the way and the truth and the life. And we have His Word, whether you have a red-letter Bible or not. But we have His Word. And so if you will learn the Bible, if you will read the Bible, well, that is the truth. And it will set you free. It will open your mind up. It will let you see. It will change your way of thinking. But you got to read it. I don't care if you're 70 years old, if you're 60 years old, if you've been a Christian all your life. You got to still read the Bible. Or if you're a new Christian. You know, we have, I think I could count right now, and it's early for Branson. It's, you know, we've still got a month and a half to go. And I think I've got 6 people that have never been to Branson that have contacted me here at the office and said, hey, what do I need to do to come to Branson? Now you may think, well, what 6 people? Well, that's, hey, I was one of 6 people at one time. But that's 6 new people already that haven't come to Branson that said, hey, I want to come there. Some are coming for baptism. Some are coming because family or friends are coming. See, they're getting set free. They're reading their Bible. They're wanting to know more about this gospel. And that's fantastic. It's good news for me. But it's because we read it. Let's take a look. Luke 16. Phones aren't ringing. I've got a chance. And this first part here is about the unrighteous steward. Okay? And so, you know, we are all stewards. You know, nothing that we have is truly ours. You know, I have a wife, just celebrated 30 years wedding anniversary. But she was a gift from God. Now, I could say, yes, she's mine. The two have become one. Well, she's still just given to me from God. And my children, they're just on loan to me from God. They belong to God. And you know, the ranch here, I'm just a steward here at the Radio Ranch. We truly are stewards of all we're given and all that's put before us. And we do not want to be unrighteous stewards. We want to be good stewards. Well, that's what Luke 16 addresses. Let's take a look. Luke 16. Now, he was also saying to the disciples. So understand, let me pause here. This is Jesus Christ talking to his disciples. So do you think it applies to you, Christian? If you call yourself a Christian, it does. I think it applies to me. I call myself a disciple of Christ, a follower of Christ, a servant, a friend, a steward. Now, Jesus was also saying to the disciples, there was a rich man who had a manager, and this manager was reported to him as squandering his possessions. And he called him and said to him, what is this I hear about you? Give an accounting of your management, for you can no longer be manager. The manager said to himself, what shall I do, since my master is taking the management away from me? I am not strong enough to dig. I am ashamed to beg. I know what I shall do, so that when I am removed from the management, people will welcome me into their homes. And he summoned each one of his master's debtors, and he began saying to the first, how much do you owe my master? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said to him, take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, and how much do you owe? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. He said to him, take your bill and write 80. And his master praised the unrighteous manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the sons of this age are more shrewd in relation to their own kind than the sons of light. And I say to you, make friends for yourself by means of the wealth of unrighteousness, so that when it fails, they will receive you into the eternal dwellings. Now there's a lot there, but he goes on and explains it, verse 10. In verse 10 he says, he who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much. And so, you know, many times we think that, well, you know, if I'm called upon to raise up arms and be a Gideon and tear down the Baals, I'll go do it. Or if I'm called to be an Elijah, I'll go slay the Baal worshippers. I'll go slay the 450 servants of Baal. Or, oh, I'll be a Phinehas. Oh, yeah, you just show it to me. I'm ready to lead the rebellion. I'm ready to wipe out sin. Well, maybe and maybe not. The Bible says, Jesus Christ says, he was faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much. So you who are ready to be a Gideon and tear the Baals down, or you who are ready to be a Phinehas and just wipe out the mongrelization that's going on, you who are ready to just stand before the governor and denounce him and going to be faithful in those big things, are you faithful in the very little things? Do you pray every day? Do you tithe? Do you pray for others? Do you forgive? Do you forgive? Let me read the words of Christ to you regarding forgiving. Okay? We're going to go back to Matthew 6. Okay? And it's verses 14 and 15. Jesus Christ speaking here, not hear me, but these are the words of Christ, red letters, right out of Matthew 6, verse 14 and 15. For if you forgive men for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Now that's not an option. Because verse 15 says, but if you do not forgive men, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. So, when we think we're ready to do these big, great things, and we say, oh yeah, we're going to be faithful in those, are we faithful in the little things? Do we forgive? Do we love our neighbors, ourselves? Do we pray the Lord's Prayer? If you find it right there in Matthew 6. Do we pray that every day? Do we pray, thy will be done? Thy kingdom come? Matthew 6:33 tells us, but seek first his kingdom. Are we faithful in that? Because if we've neglected these things, praying the Lord's Prayer every day, reading our Bible, forgiving our brother. No, not those transgender perverts. We pray for them and warn them. Are we faithful in tithing? Are we faithful in praying for one another? In forgiving one another? Because let's read on. Here in Luke 16, verse 10, we read, he who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much. And he who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the use of unrighteous wealth, who will entrust the true riches to you? And if you have not been faithful in the use of that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. And see, you cannot serve God and the world. We may think that we want to go do these great things for God, and oh Lord, we'll be faithful in the great things. But we have to be faithful in the little things before we can be faithful in the big things. Because if we're not faithful in the little things, we don't get the big things to even do. I hope that makes sense. You know, you look back at the story of David, the youngest brother. All of his brothers are of age and off at war, and what's he doing? He's sitting at home with what had to be the most boring job in the world, most of the time, watching sheep. Bah. Oh, yep, looking over here. But that's what he did. He was faithful in that. And, you know, when the time came, when the wolf or the lion came, he took care of it. He probably looked forward to those days. But he was faithful in those things. He honored his father. He didn't run away. He was faithful in those things. And because he was faithful in those long, drawn out, boring, as Eeyore would say, days, weeks, months, years, David was faithful during those times. And because he was faithful in those, what we might call little things, well, he was able to be faithful in the big things when he faced the big giant, when he faced the Philistines. Well, a little bit more here in Luke 16. We've got a little time left. Verse 14, after we finished reading the rest of this, it says, "Now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, were listening to all these things and were scoffing at him. And Jesus said to them, 'You are those who justify yourselves in the sight of men. But God knows your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is detestable in the sight of God.'" That which is highly esteemed among men is detestable in the sight of God. And this is what this is the warning God gave to the Pharisees, it says, who were lovers of money, who served that wealth, who had their 401k investments and their stocks and bonds. I guess they still have stocks and bonds. Christ rebuked them for that. And you know, we mentioned earlier there in Malachi 3:6, where he says, "For I, the Lord, do not change." He doesn't change. And Jesus goes on in rebuking the Pharisees and the Sadducees here in verse in the rest here of Luke 16, he says, "The law and the prophets were proclaimed until John. Since that time, the gospel of the kingdom of God has been preached, and everyone is forcing his way into it." And we know that can't happen. "But it is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one stroke of a letter of the law to fail." Now, it may not seem that that fits there, but I think it does. It seems like it flows. It flows to me, right? Just like there with Malachi 3:5, where the Lord says he does not change. You know, there in Malachi he says, "Return to me, and I will return to you." And you know, that has been our prayer. That has been our prayer that his people, people that call themselves Christians, will do that very thing. Will stop serving wealth, man, mammon, the world, lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the vain glories of life, and will return to God. And you know, you return one step at a time. You can start being faithful in the little things. Read your Bible. It's not hard. Just open it up. Just open it up and start reading. And after you do that a couple days, well, then maybe you want to get into a Bible reading plan. Read a little bit of the Old Testament, the New Testament. You can be faithful in that. You can pray. You know, you can... I got to talk with Brother Paul down at the church today, and we talked about, you know, just having a conversation with God. That's what he created us for. That's why God made Adam. He made us. Why? What did he do with Adam before Adam sinned? They walked in the cool of the evening. They walked through the garden and they talked. They had fellowship. That's what God wants. He wants our heart. He wants us to desire to have fellowship with him. Not just when we need something, not just when we need healing, or not just when we need, you know, "Lord, I need that job." Not just then. Then also. But he wants us to converse with him, to walk with him in the garden in the evening. You know, I'm looking out here, and it's evening here. The sun, looking out the windows here. It's a little, I call it a corner office. It's a corner. We've got a couple of windows. They need to be replaced. They're getting pretty faded. That one's cracked. But You know, I can look out here and you see just how beautiful it is. The mountains, I see that full moon. I think tomorrow's the full moon, but it's rising up. You know, it's beautiful. God's creation is beautiful. And He created it, and He put the colors out there for us because He loves us. And He wants us to walk with Him and say, you know, Lord, thank you. It's a beautiful moonrise out there tonight. Thank you, Lord. Can you at least start being faithful in some of those little things? Thanking God for all the blessings we have? We'll go to the phones.
Survey, you will be awarded.
Whoo! Phone's ringing off the hook with sales calls tonight, and that's about it. But that's okay. Praise the Lord. Lord, thank you for them. It lets us know the phones are working. Well, we've got a few more minutes. Not going to read the rest of Luke 16. That's in the Bible reading plan tonight. But the second half of Luke 16 is the rich man and Lazarus. And, you know, you can read through it. Our pastor's got a pamphlet on it. It's available for, I don't know, $3 offering if you want to, you know, have our pastor's take on it. And I think he did a sermon or two on it and put it in pamphlet form. But this is where it is, Luke 16, verses 19 through, through 30 or 31. And, you know, I think without going all the way through it, but if you look at the very end of it, you know, it says, but Abraham said, and again, I encourage you to, if you don't have the pastor's little pamphlet on it, we'd be glad to send it to you. And it's called The Rich Man and Lazarus. But it says, but Abraham says, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And of course the rich man says, but no, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. And the reply to that is, but he said to him, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be persuaded, even if someone rises from the dead. And see, unfortunately, there are those out there that even though Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and it is recorded, it has been understood throughout for the last 2,000 years that this was an event, the very recording of time, B.C. and A.D., reflect the life of Christ and the death of Christ. And we know the same book that says that he died on the cross, praise the Lord, says that after 3 days he arose again. But see, some people just aren't going to be convinced of that. They aren't going to believe it. Well, that's the choice they have. That's the choice they have. Another verse came to mind. I wasn't going to go there, but after reading that, see if I can find it over here. A little too far. Sorry about that. We're just a few minutes left here in the program, and maybe not. Here we go. It's Acts 8, the Ethiopian that receives Christ. You know, the angel of the Lord speaks to Philip and says, go. And so he goes. And so it's Acts 8, verse 27. So he got up and went, and there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning and sitting in his chariot and was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go up and join his chariot. Philip ran up and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, well, how? How could I unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of Scripture with which he was reading was this. He was led as a sheep to slaughter and as a lamb before its shearer is silent. So he does not open his mouth. In humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who will relate his generation? For his life is removed from the earth. And of course, that's there in, like he said, in Isaiah 53. Verse 34 of Acts 8, the eunuch answered Philip and said, please tell me, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of someone else? Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. And that's from the Old Testament, folks. As they went along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, water, what prevents me from being baptized? And Philip said, now this part is in parentheses, so it is in some manuscripts and not some others. But and Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he ordered the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. Well, there's your baptism, folks. There's Jesus Christ preached from Isaiah, from the rest of the Old Testament. The Ethiopian eunuch believed, and you know, whether he was black or white really doesn't matter. It really doesn't. He believed. And then he acted on that belief. He wasn't like those that we read about that would not be persuaded even if someone rose from the dead. See, this Ethiopian eunuch, he was persuaded. He was persuaded. And then when Philip preached and told him and explained it to him. You know, many times, that's our call. That's our job. As others may have read the word, but maybe they don't understand it. Maybe we can offer a little understanding. Not cram it down their throat, but maybe we sprinkle a little salt on our speech and make it where they can understand it, where it's a little more palatable. Many today are like this Ethiopian eunuch. They read it, but they just don't understand it. But when they do, what a glorious thing when they do. And as they say, look, water, what prevents me from being baptized? And I like this that's put in there. Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. There's that public profession of faith. And Philip didn't sprinkle him. He didn't dry clean him. He took him down and plop. And the old Ethiopian eunuch died. And a new creature came up out of the water, clothed in Christ. Sharing in the, well, symbolically in the death of Christ, so he could share in the glory of his resurrection. It's good stuff. Good stuff. I sure like that story better than that rich man that didn't believe, that ignored, while he was alive, and then once he was dead, it didn't do him any good. Well, we're about out of time. Sure appreciate you joining me tonight. Hope I didn't ramble too much. Our address, if you want to write to us, is Scriptures for America. We'll be glad to send you a Bible reading plan or, a registration form for Branson. That's out in our Volume 3 Dragon Slayer newsletter that should be in your hand if you're on the Dragon Slayer newsletter list. Again, our address, if you want to write, Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. You can email us at preacher@sfaw.org. And we encourage you, if you'll pray and fast for us, we've been talking about that. We would love to have you join us corporately as the body of Christ in praying and fasting between now and Branson. Contact us, and we'd be glad to talk to you about that and have you share in that with us. You know, this one scripture that I've read from Malachi, I'm going to close out with that, because if you will remember that, then that in itself will help open up the scriptures to you. And that is that Malachi 3:5. And he says, "For I, the Lord, do not change." And so understand that Jesus Christ, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so that is God that does not change, and it is also Jesus Christ that does not change. Okay? And so, if you will just remember that, okay? Remember that. And when you read through the Bible, understand that the God of the Old Testament, well, He is the God of the New Testament. Okay? And especially there, you can read the beginning of John, because that does a good job of giving you an understanding. But God doesn't change. He doesn't change. He is the same then as He is now. Well, we're about out of time. Going to go out with a Clint Miller song. You can find his music at clintmiller.com. Thanks a lot, folks. And hey, tune in with us Saturday morning for coffee. We'll talk to you then.
1, 2, 3.
Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?
They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. They that wait upon the Lord.
Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?
Called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. Seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven.
Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?
They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.
They that wait
upon the Lord. If my people which are